fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 10th day of August, year of our Lord, 2018. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, let's take a quick look at Drudge and see if there's anything all that important we need to talk about for a breaking headline. There wasn't a few minutes ago. Not really. Apparently, Nancy Pelosi is making a complete fool of herself, which doesn't take much. Other than that, no, nothing more. Well, actually, what's going on with Turkey is probably a good thing. The currency is collapsing, and that may spell the end of this Erdogan character who wants to be the new caliphate. So that's truly a good thing. Prepper tip of the day. Yes, it's August. Yes, it's unbearably hot in much of the country. However, now is the time to prepare your alternative heat for this coming winter. It'll be winter before you know it. So think about it. How would you keep your premises warm if the grid went down? How would you do that? Lots of different ways. How you accomplish that is up to you, of course. Make sure you do it in a safe manner. That's your prepper tip of the day. We have patient waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began a quest more than half a century ago to become knowledgeable, to become an expert in ham radio, in emergency survival communications, radio frequency engineering, and electronics in general. We're going to have a discussion here like we do on Friday mornings, the first hour, on emergency survival communications. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. How are you today?
Well, if I felt any better, it wouldn't be legal. How about you?
About the same. That's right.
All right. Well, Tom, our preparedness group, we taken delivery of, I thought it was only 12, but it looks like we got 17 of these Biofang radios. 12 have been programmed and ready for distribution. We got 5 more to be programmed. The 12 are complete sets with one extra battery each, so they each have 2 batteries, charger, a speaker mic, a headset, and of course the antenna. So we're looking forward to getting these things distributed and start doing some testing. The next step, Tom, will be to get mobile units, which I advocated for first, but people do, as most Americans do. They want to hit these HTs. I know it's sort of like getting pistols. Americans love pistols. Americans love HTs. But we'll move on shortly to get mobile units, which can also be used as base stations, can't they, Tom?
Oh, yeah, they can. With a power supply or a battery bank, you can easily set those up as the base station. Yeah, John, pistols, HTs, I guess the mobile unit would be like the rifle, like an M14,
right.
You know?
Exactly. There's no sense trying to fight the tide. I just roll with it and say, hey, if you guys want to get HTs, we'll get HTs. You know, no sweat, GI. But now we move on from there to the mobile units. One of our members, he's a Canadian national who lives in Germany, has donated between $2,000 and $3,000 worth of radio equipment just in the past 2 months. And we have yet to inventory it. I know it's a lot. We got HTs, we got base units, we've got coax, we've got antennas, we got testing equipment, we've got tools. And right now, we simply don't know what we have other than it's packed away, waiting to be inventoried. I'm looking forward to that. I've sent him an email saying, don't send us any more stuff till we find out what we got.
Yeah, well, John, the test equipment is very valuable. You really should look at that first and set up means to test this equipment. That is crucial.
Well, we'll be doing that. A lot of it is probably two-thirds of it hasn't been removed from the original packing from the distributor that it was shipped from. So we don't even know what's inside the packages. But, yeah, I agree with you. The test equipment and the tools are critical, both of them. I'll be unpacking this stuff out once we get weather where it's tolerable to be outside in the middle of the day. I'll spread out a tarpaulin and break all this stuff out, unpack it, inventory it, so we know what we've got. I might be talking to you for some consultation there, Tom, just to figure out what some of this stuff is, because I'm certainly no expert. I can probably identify most everything there, but I won't necessarily know how useful a particular product is compared to other things in the same genre. So it's going to be a fun project to unpack and inventory all this radio equipment to see what we have and what we might need in the future. Now, the reason I'm saying all this is for all these folks listening out there that can be anywhere in the United States, Australia, New Zealand, England, Germany, France, Spain, Ireland. They need to be making similar preparations with getting their radio equipment and their tools and their testing equipment, antennas and coax, don't they, Tom?
Yes, that's very true, John. And there's, we could just do some discussing on various ways to make an HT work a lot better, and that would involve a mobile repeater. Now, that's what the law enforcement uses. You'll see these cops alongside the highway, and they've got traffic incidents and accidents and things going on, and they're talking on an HT without any trouble at all. But, you know, that portable radio is actually interconnected through the high-power mobile unit in the car, and that's why it works so well. The ham operators don't typically do that, and they try to rely on that tiny little HT, that little radio in the palm of your hand, getting all the way back to the base station or repeater, which can be rather tricky and sometimes spotty coverage at best. So thinking about some sort of a mobile repeater is a very good option to
that's
take care of that problem.
That's a level of sophistication above where we are at the moment with our group, but it certainly needs to be looked at once we start getting our mobile units. Because having the mobile units, of course, is critical to accomplishing what you're discussing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. John, you know, when they had to go to narrowband equipment in January of 2013, that put so much surplus equipment on the market for pennies, sometimes free, or in some cases you were paid to haul it away. So that made a lot of this stuff available. Now, the mobile repeaters, some of the Motorola units that would interconnect with the radio, they were very sophisticated, and I didn't care for the for the way they operated. You probably have heard them before. You know, we've sat in a restaurant and some of those highway patrolmen would be sitting there at the adjacent table. You'd hear those HTs, and I could tell that they were using that older type of equipment. And not today, but, you know, a few years back. And you could hear it would what it would do is it would broadcast when the mobile unit picked up a signal from headquarters or from the base station. It would retransmit that signal on the HT frequency, but it would pause for a fraction of a second, about every quarter of a second or maybe half a second, and you'd hear a thump or a click on the HT as it interrupted the transmission to listen for the HT to talk back. It actually would wait and see if it would get a signal from the cop's portable radio, and if it did, it would take that signal and use the mobile unit to transmit that signal back to headquarters. That's how it worked. It just paused for a fraction of a second to see if the mobile unit was trying to transmit. And otherwise, they worked very well. I didn't care for that constant clicking and thumping on there, but it was it did work. And actually worked quite well if you could put up with the noise. I guess after a while you got used to it. And
yeah, I'm sure.
I've got several of those units, John. I paid $1 a piece for them. So they're out there, and I'm sure by now most of them have been scrapped out or thrown in the dump. But they actually could be interfaced with ham units, and the mobile repeater could be put on a ham simplex frequency, or just pick a frequency that's outside of the repeater range. You know, where the repeater actually operates, and set it up that way, and you'd have a very similar system as to what the Highway Patrol was using, and it was very reliable.
Okay. Now, I need to stop you right there, Tom. We're at a point now, it's 8:12 a.m. on Friday the 10th of August, where more than half the people listening to you and myself don't have a clue what we're talking about, using terminology they've never heard before, talking about things they've never heard before. That's expected. I that's my expectation, that more than half the audience won't have a clue when you start talking about repeaters, mobile units, so here's the deal for you folks who don't have a clue. Tom and I may as well be speaking ancient Egyptian here, as far as you're concerned. This is your clue. This is your heads up. Get involved. Find your local ham radio club. Trust me, it's a lot easier than learning ancient Egyptian. There's not much. It's the simple stuff. When you're first exposed to it, and you're hearing Tom and John Moore talk about this on a Friday morning, it sounds impossibly technical. It sounds impossibly difficult. My response is, get over it. It's not. It's simple. It's easy. You need to be around people who have been doing this for 20, 30, 40 years. Spend some time with them. Start to learn the language. Understand the terminology. And once you've been around it for a few months, going to these meetings and maybe doing just a little bit of reading, it will start to clear up and the fog will clear away, won't it, Tom?
Oh, yeah, well, John. And, you know, to simplify what I just described here, this type of a system, it's almost the same thing as having a Bluetooth headset for your cell phone. It's like a headset. A Bluetooth headset doesn't directly plug into the phone, but it talks to the phone on another RF radio frequency. So it talks on another channel to the phone, and then the phone is connected to the cell system, and you make your calls and talk, and it's just all transparent. Well, that's the same thing as these mobile repeaters. It's almost the same type of system, basically, but actually more simple, much simpler. But it's very effective, and in essence, it will put that 100-watt mobile unit in the palm of your hand with that HT. So you're actually operating a very high-power mobile unit from the palm of your hand. It works great. So it's just something to keep in mind because, you know, if you want to experience some frustration, try using those HTs to talk any distance, and it's almost impossible. But they're really good for short-range local. If you're in a small town, you can talk from one end of town to the other with no problem.
Well,
they're really handy for that.
There's a caveat to what you just said, Tom. Now, Have you been to the top of our hill and seen our radio mast that we have at the top of the hill? I'm not sure you have.
Oh, yeah, John. No, you're in a very high location there.
Right.
Yes.
Well, the top of our, from our home here, at the top of the hill from our home, we have a 50, 60-foot mast and a 2-meter antenna with coax coming down, of course, from that. Now, from my location to Hillsboro, Missouri, is a considerable distance, probably line of sight, I'm going to say 45 miles or so, line of sight. To drive there is close to 100 miles because of the way the roads go, but line of sight probably 45, 50 miles. I've personally talked with a 5-watt HT to the Hillsboro repeater, and quite successfully, 5x5, using that coax and using that 2-meter antenna on top of that mast, which gets that antenna above, right at and just above the tops of the trees. So you're absolutely right. When it comes to an HT, well, this is handy talkie, what civilians might call walkie talkies. We call them handy talkies. If you have the proper antenna high enough, you can actually get more distance with these little handheld radios than you would ever dream of, can't you, Tom?
Well, that's very true, and that's why it's real handy to have an external antenna. If you're going to use that small HT from a home location, it can be like a low-power base station, and you can leave it plugged in the charger and leave that adapter connected to the radio, the antenna adapter that will connect it up to the external antenna. That will give you some extended range, no doubt about that, and you'd be surprised as to how far you can go. So it's really always about antenna height and antenna gain, more so than power. Sometimes you don't really need a lot of power to establish a communications link.
That's right. That's right. Tom, we got a caller on hold here. We haven't heard from him for a while. I guess he's been busy doing important stuff. That would be Glenn in Philadelphia. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Tom. Hi. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on the personal and work fronts these days, so I'm not around as much. But like, I always like to catch this segment, you know, always very interesting. I have a little piece of mainstream media, ham radio whimsy for Tom, along the lines of how people really don't understand ham radio. I recently saw an episode of NCIS, which stands for Naval Criminal Investigative Service. Not a lot of people probably know that TV show, and in which they were using ham radio to, the criminals were using ham radio, so they were undercover using ham radio to contact them and set the trap and everything. And the techno geek special agent is explaining ham radio to the other non-techno geek special agents, and he's going on the air and stuff, and he's using call letters and talking to, and then he's using nickname handles, you know, like you would have in CB, which right. Just made me laugh and chuckle, because the script writer obviously not familiar with ham, because ham radio operators do not use CB handles. But I just thought they just, you know, really muddled it on that one.
Oh, well.
But Tom, do you agree, Tom? I mean, you just don't hear handles on ham that I know of.
Well, you know, in the very early days, the hams actually did would refer to their name as their handle early on, and then when the CB craze came in, the CBers picked up on a lot of that, and then it became a no-no on the ham radio bands. But you listen to the ham bands today, there's so many ex-CBers on there now that some of it sounds like CB. It wouldn't surprise me that within 10 years or so that the ham radio goes the way of CB, no license required, just get a unit
and
put
that
it on.
And that will do to ham radio exactly what it did to CB, which is raise the noise level phenomenally. You have all kinds of garbage in there and all kinds of illegal activity and unseemly activity and stuff like that. And I had a CB radio license back when they had license. There's always a mix of people, licensed and unlicensed. You'd have the guys on there with 100-watt linears. Hello to Panama, red, down in Texas, echoes, and all that goofball stuff. And it just really ruined. It was CB. Like if you still wanted to, you know, communicate and get your, you know, a lot of people had standard AM rigs. They didn't have single sideband or, you know, dual sideband rigs. If you went up on a sideband somewhere, you could usually cut through the muck. But that was a pain in the neck. But you were talking about signal quality. You recently talked about the antenna and the power and everything. Don't forget about standing wave ratio, getting that antenna well matched. You know, that's a good one too. Impedance matching in the antennas, that's a big one too. You have a great antenna, if you got a bad SWR, you're going to really knock yourself down if you do these.
Well, that's true, and that will. A lot of the modern radios have protection for reflected power. What Glenn's referring to is if the antenna impedance isn't matched to the transmitter, some of that power is reflected back. It's got to go somewhere, so it ends up heating up the power amplifier in the radio and sometimes can actually damage the radio or destroy that transistor in the output stage. So
yeah, don't want to blow your finals. Yeah.
That's right. And what a lot of the modern equipment manufacturers have done is they'll put protection circuits in there, and if the radio senses that there's excessive reflected power, it actually turns the transmitter power down. It decreases your output power to compensate for that, so it doesn't self-destruct. So therefore, right. You think you may have a 100-watt radio or something when it might only be operating at 25 because you're mismatch on the antenna. So it is very wise, as Glenn said, to test all that. And John, that's why I said the test equipment is so vital to any kind of a network that you want to set up, any kind of a ham club arrangement. You know, you could have a meeting and everybody could check their antennas on their mobile units, or maybe one by one go to their home and check their antenna system and all that. But it would be very, very good to do something like that.
All right.
Yeah, and on a mobile rig, you typically just have a little Allen wrench and you can adjust the length, you know, of the antenna until you get your SWR down. But on, you know, with big exterior antennas, you just used to have like little, adjustable impedance matcher in there, you know, which would let you get a good SWR. But, you know, again, that would cut down on your output, you know, and
future power
without heating your finals.
What I've always done, and these are out there everywhere now and getting more inexpensive all the time, but an actual antenna analyzer, or I use a network analyzer, and it's basically a small, very low-power, micro-power transmitter that puts a signal out, but then it plots the curve. You can see the resonant point and the exact frequency that the antenna is resonating at, and you can loosen that Allen screw, that little screw that holds the antenna whip in the antenna mount, and you can just, you're not going to burn your fingers with any RF power because it's so minuscule, but you can then slide that antenna up and down. You slide it a little bit and tighten it and then take your fingers away. You can just watch the screen on that analyzer, and you can see the resonant point moving, and really within 20 seconds or so, you can adjust that antenna and get it exactly where you want it. It's much better than constantly transmitting and then move. Yeah, it's just so much faster. But you do have to make an investment in that equipment. That's why I think it's a good idea if a ham club has, the club perhaps purchases one of those antenna analyzers, then everybody can take advantage of having that piece of equipment when they're setting up a new system.
I just had my little $20 Tandy SWR meter and tried to make the needle stay down near the left.
That's the way it was done for decades, and all this new equipment showing up nowadays, it just makes it easier and easier to do. But, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong. Simple as best, and if you want to take the time to adjust the antennas and all that, you can get it exactly where you need it to be using simple equipment like the I know the exact meter you're talking about, Glenn. I have one as well.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for me. So thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Bye. Thank you, Glenn. We appreciate the call. The call number is 800-313-9443. Well, it sounds complex. It sounds difficult. But that's just because people have not really been exposed to this material, exposed to this knowledge, taking the time to, and it doesn't take a whole lot of time, just a few hours a week, to immerse yourself in the ham radio culture, start learning the language, learning this terminology, and it becomes second nature fairly quickly, doesn't it, Tom?
It does. You pick up on it pretty quick, and like I've said before, John, that if somebody would just study for 3 weeks, maybe a month at the most, devote a little bit of time to the study materials, they could easily pass that test and get their first ham license, and then it becomes somewhat like an apprenticeship. They're on the air, they can meet other people, they can learn from others, and the ham operators will all help each other. You can join a club, get to know these people on a personal level, and there's a lot of expertise floating around, and these guys are always willing to share it and help each other. So that, along with a little bit of basic test equipment, and you can set up any system that will be every bit as good as what the professionals are using, sometimes better.
Sometimes better. And a lot of times the ham, and here's why it's good, it can be sometimes better. Ham radio people are individuals, and something new comes out that is superior to what's being used by the first responders, police, fire departments, paramedics. They don't have to go before a board and wait for months to make a decision because they're individuals and can simply point, point, click, click to have the item delivered to their door without having to deal with a bureaucracy. Right, Tom?
Well, that's true. And then the downside is that they have to scrape up the money to make it all happen, and that sometimes is the hardest part. But, yeah, if the money's available and they can find the equipment, yes, you can have it in a few days' time and put it to use. It's And then, of course, there's that personal interest in what you're doing. The professionals have the radio equipment as a necessity, and it's just part of their job, and it's just a tool that they use in their everyday workload. But the ham operator is really interested in what's going on and how it's all connected, how it actually works, and they take a great interest in the whole system, so they will fine-tune that thing and make it work just perfectly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, if you've got a question or comment about emergency survival communications, give us a call at 800-313-9443. We missed our first break here, Tom. The squirrels that run the cage that power the PC for the break are on break themselves. I think they went on vacation. But hopefully we'll have our bottom of the hour break at the scheduled time here in less than 2 minutes. Doing these things now, learning how radio communication works, getting the knowledge, the skills, the tools, the equipment. Right now, we appear, and it might be a complete illusion, we appear to have the luxury of time to proceed and learn these things. That may be a complete illusion. I don't know. But pretend like it is real, that we do have time. And go ahead and start and commence contacting your local ham radio club, starting to become part of this culture, learn about this technology, understand the technology. It's simple. It's easy. And it's also fun, isn't it, Tom?
It really is, and I've always encouraged everybody to bring some younger people along. Bring even the grade school kids can pick up on this and get involved pretty quick, and they usually soak it in like a sponge, and the information is easy for them to learn. And once they get on the air and they start at a young age, you know, John, that those young people, when they're an adult, they will have and electronics education second to none if they just simply apply themselves a little bit and learn about what they're working with once they get their ham radio license. And they will be a force to be reckoned with. They'll have a lifetime of employment. They'll never have a problem finding a job.
That's right. That's right. And it's a voice of experience, ladies and gentlemen. Here's our break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner, $70 off retail, and a mattress pad, 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, we are back with Zoom. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 10th of August. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Well, my webmaster is back, Tim Spencer. We're playing catch-up, getting the YouTube videos posted, hopefully by Monday. All my shows since July 20th will be posted on YouTube. We've got the correct title for my new Prague DVD now posted. It was a challenge to get this DVD edited, produced, the cover art finished, everything duplicated and ready for sale. So it's all set and ready for sale now. We have inventory ready to go. My new Prague video, that's at thelibertyman.com, right there at the top left-hand corner of my homepage. Also, my website, of course, you'll find energy cleaners for sale. This is my home business. When you place your order, I'm the guy that boxes them up. I take them to the little country post office at Cherryville, Missouri, and it goes out priority mail. So if you have arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, well, what are you waiting for? Get yourself an energy cleaner. Not getting a great night's sleep? Once again, what are you waiting for? Get yourself an energy cleaner. It will help you get a great night's sleep. Keep in mind the following. I offer from me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do, from me to you personally, a 90-day money-back guarantee. So check out the energy cleaner. Check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads. Everything's right there at my website at thelibertyman.com, where you can place your order. You can also call my toll-free order line, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Keep in mind, I offer from me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee. And, of course, I do take PayPal along with MasterCard, Visa, and so forth. All right. Tom, we talk every week about emergency communications, encouraging people, challenging people, letting them know that pretty much anybody can do it. We routinely have 8-year-old boys and girls passing these ham radio tests, don't we, Tom?
All the time, John. It was rare back in the old days to see a very young person, less than 10 years old, get into it. But there were several, and I'm sure they went on to bigger and better things as they got older, and probably had fantastic careers in communications, electronics, business, and so on. But nowadays, it's even more common than ever before because the rules have been relaxed quite a bit. The equipment is so simple to hook up nowadays. It's plug and play, as I say, and you don't have to have the technical requirements to get started. So you can learn as much as you want as you go. And the nice thing about ham radio is you can build your own equipment and experiment, and it's encouraged that you do these types of things. And you'll gain knowledge as you progress through the different things that you'll be working with, whether it be antennas, the transmitters themselves, receivers. You'll learn all about the equipment and how it works internally, and that can really benefit especially the younger people if they're planning on a career in electronics. They will learn the basics, and they can advance on to other subjects and really be a force to be reckoned with as they get into the business world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's all a win-win situation. You learn valuable information that you can have and retain for a lifetime. You're part of changing technology. I remember my friend Charles Shaw, the attorney who the film The Great Escape, Steve McQueen, pretended to do in a movie what Mr. Shaw did in real life. But Mr. Shaw was a pilot all his adult life, and with every new stage of technology, since he was a pilot, he was part of it, so it wasn't a mystery to him. And each new layer of technology built on the layer before, didn't it, Tom?
Oh, yeah, it really did. And, yeah, he was an incredible man, John. That guy was something else. I remember sitting in the restaurant there in Fenton, Missouri. He'd come in there every morning with his buddies. They would have coffee in the morning, and they all had those big, I mean, they looked like a giant walkie-talkie type cell phone, and I remember when Charlie couldn't get a good signal, he'd start screaming into that thing. You could hear him through the whole restaurant. I was talking to him one morning. I said, you can yell all you want, but it's not going to make that thing work any better. And he said, well, I'm going to give it a try. He was really an interesting guy.
He was. But that's when you're involved in ham radio, you're part of a community of men and women who are up to date with technology, always interested and fascinated with what's new in this technology, so that they don't get caught off guard. It's typically what happens new in ham radio and in this technology is an improvement on something that already exists, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, that's right. And again, though, the best thing about it is the experimentation and the learning. It's like on-the-job training, and you can do so much with it. And there's so many different areas that you can learn about if you like digital communications. A lot of the younger people like getting on there, John, and use the digital modes because it's kind of like emailing and texting, and they enjoy that, and it works good for them. A lot of the older guys like me like the Morse code from the old days. That's what I do most of the time. And then you can get the single sideband radios on the high frequency bands, which would be the shortwave spectrum, and that's where you can talk very great distances and internationally if you wish to. So you can do that type of work, and of course on the local and regional level, you would use VHF and UHF FM-type radios, although there is some single sideband used in those VHF and UHF frequencies for weak signal work. That actually, single sideband and Morse code are the two best ways to get through for weak signal. And FM, though, is used, I'd say, about 95% of the time, you know, through repeaters and just point-to-point simplex. You can put units in your car. You can have the hand-carried units, portable systems that you use out in the field. And I encourage anybody listening that's interested in this to get equipment that's capable of HF operation with single sideband and even digital. A lot of the radios allow you to plug a laptop in, and you can go into these digital modes, and it's almost like your own infrastructure is set up there for your PC to connect to others, and you can email. There are portals that you can go through and transmit emails from out in the field. So it's very handy, and there's almost no end to the various modes of communications that you can experiment with. There's very few restrictions, and the hams are encouraged to try these new modes of communications. And John, so much of the technology that is now used commercially, including the cell phone technology, all came about as a result of ham radio operators experimenting and trying new systems and tinkering and messing around with this stuff. So that's where most of it started, and that's one of the reasons there has been the amateur radio service all these decades, because the FCC, the government, realized that they would have a readily trained pool of radio operators for wartime, and also they would have a steady supply of technical expertise that comes out of the ham radio ranks that can be used in industry and product development and so on. So it really is a great thing, and that's why I always encourage the young people to get involved in this.
Well, it is, and youngsters like to do adult things. Almost all child's play is children pretending to do adult things. But in this case, they can do real adult things at an equal level with the adults, and that gives children a real sense of accomplishment, not a make-believe, feel-good sense of accomplishment, but a sense of accomplishment based on reality, not fiction. And for you homeschoolers out there, it's a great way to educate youngsters in an area that typically homeschoolers don't get involved in, area of electronics, radio communications, and doing adult things that are real, aren't they, Tom?
Yeah, that's really true. You know, it's amazing how many homeschoolers have put ham radio study and getting a license and all that into their curriculum, and it's worked out very good for them. And these young people have grown up to become very proficient in communications and electronics in general. They'll have a very broad-based knowledge of electronics, electrical communications itself, and just an all-around good education and a basis to start a fantastic career. And they will, like I said earlier, they will never have to look very far to find a job. As a matter of fact, John, a friend of mine retired from, he was with Verizon. He was one of their top engineers in Illinois, and I've known him for many, many years. And he told me stories about just trying to hire people. They had incredible problems trying to hire technically competent people that could work on the systems. You know, selling the phones at a phone store is one thing, but maintaining those systems was very difficult for that company to find the competent people. And they made very, very good incomes off of that type of work. And the working conditions were clean, and not always, but, you know, you always have their problems. But I think anybody that gets into ham radio at a young age and learns this about all of this equipment could easily get a very, very high-paying job with any of these cell phone companies, because they're constantly looking for technical competence, and it's in very short supply.
It is. Well, there's your heads up, ladies and gentlemen. If you got children or grandchildren that are showing any interest at all in learning this kind of technology, well, go for it and get them involved with ham radio. And it may just be the beginning of a wonderful career, couldn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it's very true. And it starts with some real simple little experiments. They can learn about how to hook a light bulb up to a battery or an LED to a battery and make it light up. And then the knowledge increases from there. And that's with a really young kid. Girls and boys alike, it doesn't matter. They pick this stuff up pretty quick. I would think with any type of interest that a young child has, you know, when they start young and they stick with it, they become very proficient as they grow older, and they'll be an expert in their field. But the ham radio, I think, fits in so well with today's electronic world, you know, with communications, the cell phones and everything. It's so simple to push the buttons on those phones, John, but to understand the infrastructure that's behind it, I mean, it is incredibly complex. And anybody that gets into ham radio would learn those, the basis of how all of that works, and it could easily apply that to the cell phone industry. And I don't think it'd be too hard for them to get a job in that field that would be very, very satisfying. And the income from that is typically pretty high. I mean, they do very well. I know what some of these guys make, and sometimes it's in the six-figure range. So they do quite well.
Well, that's encouraging, and we want to encourage people. You may or may not want a career in this area, but if you choose to, you can have one and have one successfully. And it's just a matter of getting started, isn't it?
That's right. You just have to, you know, every journey starts with the first step. Just start moving in that direction. But again, the homeschoolers have always taken the lead in these types of things. I've seen it so many times, John, and they'll actually bring the kids to the ham club meetings and all that. And these youngsters, they really gravitate towards this type of equipment and technology. They're very interested in it when they see the systems being hooked up and the radios, and they can talk to somebody on it and they can talk to their friends, and they jump on it and they don't let go, and they become pretty good at it. It's amazing how many careers have been started just through ham radio.
It is. Well, it's not for everybody. It's going to be for a select few, but those select few will have a wonderful career, making a good income, and having fun at the same time, right, Tom?
That's right. And then you never know who you're going to meet. You know, once you get involved in ham radio, it's like a fraternity. You could be on that radio and be talking to a neurosurgeon. You never know. It's a level playing field. Once you get on the radio, everybody on there has a common interest in the communications and the ham radio in general, but then many times the conversations will go on to other subjects, and you might be talking to a doctor, an attorney, professionals, you know, in business, and it's amazing. And, John, I have always been able to use the ham radio. Just being involved in ham radio in my line of work always got me in the side door to many major, major companies. I never had to go through the front door and go through purchasing and you know, get vetted and all that stuff. It's because I knew a ham guy that was in there, and that was your ticket to get through the door and pick up that company as a customer. It worked for me for many, many years because there were so many ham operators that were electrical engineers, and that fit in. What they needed was exactly what I was producing, and so we had a perfect match almost every time, and it was very handy to be a ham operator and be working in the electronics field.
I bet it was.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely bet it was. So, yeah.
But anyway, John, back to the emergency systems, I've talked previously about some of these small radios you use out in the field. One of my favorite ones is that Yaesu FT-817. Now, they came out with a new one recently, an 818 instead of the 817. And the one I have is a FT-817ND, Nancy Delta. I don't even know what the ND. That was a later model, but they had some trouble with the earlier ones. With the power amplifier stage, they had some transistor problems, but that was all solved. And if you buy the 817ND, and those are on the used market all the time, few hundred dollars, maybe 400 or so. I've seen them for more than that and sometimes a little bit less than that if it's an older one. But they've been out there for many years now, over 10 years, and it's a proven radio, and it's only 5 watts. But it will also operate on the HF bands. It will operate on the VHF and UHF bands, plus it's a wide-range receiver, so you can use it as a shortwave radio to listen to shortwave broadcasts. You can listen to the aircraft radio bands, the FM broadcast band. You can listen to the AM broadcast band if you wish, and it's a great portable unit for field use and for emergency communications. I think it's one of the best.
Hold that thought, Tom. We have our last break. Call number is 800-313-9443.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Did you know that neither the American medical...
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries.
All right, we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 10th of August. Well, Tom, this hour just flew by. We got a lot of great information out here. Hopefully, we've encouraged people to stop procrastinating and move forward to become proficient in ham radio and learn these skills and learn what they need to learn to be part of help being helpful during a crisis, as opposed to just being part of the problem. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's true, John. And, you know, in a future show, we should maybe focus on maybe particular types of modes of communications. I know there was, I think it was Kyle in Montana called in a few weeks ago and asked about single sideband, and then we did have a short discussion about making up a list of things that could be discussed. So if somebody had somebody could generate that list, I would certainly be able to put some information together that we could discuss and would explain these various modes of operation or the equipment types, antenna types, and so on. And we could get in, go as deep as you wanted to, or just maybe cover the basics and move through the list. I think that would be a good idea to maybe have a discussion on some of those items.
Absolutely. Well, maybe somebody can do that for us, Tom. We'll see. This is the time to sit back and consider what was talked about the past hour, ponder it, and make a decision. Life is two things, Tom. Decisions and the consequences of those decisions. That's life, isn't it?
That's right. And if there's anybody on the fence thinking about getting into ham radio because they're interested in emergency communications, well, this is the time to do it. While there's a lot of turmoil going on in the world, it's still relatively calm enough to get the equipment together and get on the air and learn about it and get started, because in an all-out, lights-out situation, no power, no communications, the cell phones aren't working, that would be quite a crisis to deal with. But that would be when the ham radio equipment would really shine its brightest, because you'd have a good handle on what's going on no matter where. You could listen to shortwave broadcasts with some of the equipment I've described. You could also talk to people in other areas, other countries, if you wish to. And you would also be able to find out what's happening on a local and regional basis. I think the most important would be what's happening in your local area as well as around you. So some of the equipment that we've talked about would be able to be used on a regional basis, and you'd find out what's happening in the neighboring states, neighboring counties, and so on. And this would really allow you to be prepared for what's coming down the road. You'd be well ahead of everybody else in the area, but you could also help those in your immediate area to learn about what's happening. Maybe two counties over that could affect you in the very near future. So it would be very, very handy to have that ham radio equipment set up.
Okay. A quick heads up here, a news article I just ran across. A female dentist from England got arrested in Dubai for ordering a glass of wine on a commercial airline flight.
Oh, boy.
How about that? Tom, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll have you back next week.
Thank you, John.
That's it for this hour. We got a 1 hour top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.